The conversation about immigration reform continues to be a major topic of conversation in Washington, especially after a major piece of legislation revising the country's immigration regulations was introduced earlier this year. A recent poll conducted by the Diane D. Blair Center of Southern Politics and Society in the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences and University of Arkansas Clinton School of Public Service examined opinions about immigration reform. The big takeaway from the poll is that no community is monolithic. Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellum spoke with Rafael Jimeno. He's the Diane Blair Professor of Latino Studies. Kyle began by pointing out that similar people don't necessarily have similar opinions.
Well, and there is that story that can be told. You have this notion of 56% of Latinos, right? When you group them all together, 56% of them are against tougher immigration laws. And so that's how pundits, that's how many academics, that's how politicians get away with grouping them all together. But it's really interesting when you divide them up based on any number of characteristics in the report. You know, I do this with nativity, but you could theoretically do it with any characteristic you wanted. And when you do this, right, you do see these differences that are significant for a lot of the predictions people make about elections.
There's a strong majority that don't want strict regulations, but native-born Latinos or Latinos born in the United States are much more likely to want what we would call stronger laws.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not a majority of the group, but it's a significant chunk compared to those same people in the foreign-born group, right? And so that tells you something. I mean, we tend to think that all Latinos will be equally affected by issues of immigration, and we already know that there's a huge difference, for example, between Mexican-Americans and Puerto Ricans, right? Puerto Ricans don't have to care about immigration. They're American citizens by birth. They're not immigrants, right? They're just – it's like moving from a territory to a state, from state to state. And so immigration is not a big deal to them. Same thing when you start talking about a Latino born in the U.S. There's a chance that they might have a cousin or a family member or a friend who is an immigrant, but the further on you get in generational status, right, the less likely it is that they have any connection to the immigrant experience. And at that point, they're just Americans who are as concerned as any other American in general about border security and all the other issues that we tend to group with immigration.
This poll was across all ethnicities. It wasn't just of Latinos.
No, it's part of this ongoing effort in the Blair Center to produce nationally representative data that can tell us something not only about the South as a region, but about the South in the greater national context. And so we like to think of it as six surveys in one. You have a nationally representative sample of whites, Southern and non-Southern, Latinos, Southern and non-Southern, and blacks, Southern and non-Southern. And so we can say things with confidence about each of these groups. But then, of course, we also can adjust the data, weight it correctly so that we can speak to national level trends and not just about what's going on in these subgroups, these subpopulations.
One figure that comes from this report is that nationally, across all ethnicities, just over 52% of the survey's respondents would prefer tougher immigration laws. That's 50-50, basically. I mean, yeah. I'm rounding, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it is a slim majority of the American public that could be said to favor tougher laws. But you're right. I mean, saying a slim majority makes it sound like, well, it's a majority and there you go. But, I mean, a lot of this, you know, responds to the way politicians frame the issue, to the way the media frames the issue, and the fact that in spite of all of this attention, in spite of all of this controversy and, you know, all this opposition from some very vocal members, for example, of the Republican Party, the fact that you would still just have 52%, you know, tells you something too, I think. It's not so much that people want a crackdown. It's just that they want the system of laws to make sense, and they want those laws to be easy to follow so that people will actually follow them. But yeah, this notion of being punitive is really not as widely favorite as people think.
You know, going back to the difference right after last November's election, pundits both from the left and the right were talking about the Latino vote and what the Republican Party would have to do or what the Democratic Party can do to. And what you find out here is there's no easy answer because there's no, quote, Latino vote.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
I mean, I would say that the reason that the Republican Party cannot just ignore, you know, the Latino population. I mean, there have been calls for this. I mean, you have Representative Steve King from Iowa, I think, who has said the GOP should just forget about Latinos. You've had pundits like Buchanan, Pat Buchanan, calling for a type of Southern strategy against Latinos. And then just recently, I think maybe a couple of days ago, you had the Center for Immigration Studies, which is a conservative think tank, saying that the Republican Party should just focus on whites to try to win elections. I mean, so you have these very vocal proponents of this notion that Republicans can just forget about Hispanics.
Yeah, I guess what I should have said, there's no single Latino vote.
Right.
You can't just say, do this, right, and a Latino or Latina will vote this way.
Right, that's true. And so, and because of that, right, you would think that both parties have a natural interest in pursuing voters from this subgroup. I mean, when you look at, for example, the difference between the support that George Bush got in 2004, which is estimated to be at around 44% of Latinos or Latino voters, and compare it to the 27% that Mitt Romney got. I mean, that is a chasm. And so the calculus that Republicans or some Republicans are making is that it's just not worth it to try to go for the Latino vote because the percentage that you would need to attract to actually influence electoral outcomes is, in their view, prohibitive. But that's barely true in the short term, and it's patently false in the long term, right? Because what they should be thinking about is having this be a sort of investment in the future of the Republican Party among Latino voters. I think Pew Center is saying that Latino voters are expected to double in the next couple of decades, by which point, if the Republican Party has just accepted that they are not going to be a party that represents Latinos in any meaningful way, right, electoral victories may be beyond their capacity. And so it's just very wrongheaded, right, to think of Latinos as monolithic, saying they will always be Democrats or they will always be liberals. There's room for both parties to play.
Yeah. Can you, in a poll, try to find out how important an issue is for someone? Because someone may feel one way about immigration reform, but they may feel a different way about abortion or same-sex marriage, and trying to weigh which of those might or might not be a litmus test for
right.
a candidate's vote.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. There's a lot of research that shows that Latinos have this duality when it comes to ideology, right? They will be social conservatives, so they're very much about, limitations on abortion rights, not necessarily pro gay rights or same-sex marriage, but they're also, in a sense, fiscal liberals. They're okay with big government, right? Whereas most Americans would not be. They're okay with big government trying to do big things, trying to help out the poor, trying to help out the needy, the disabled. And so because of this duality, right, you will always have either party being able to make inroads with
right.
that community.
Does a good poll, when it comes back, does it give you even more questions than it does answers? Because you can burrow into the numbers and start to go, oh, I wonder why or I wonder if.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That when you look at, for example, any respondent saying that moral issues are or a big consideration for them in a particular election cycle, you do wonder what that's a function of. Was it the way candidates presented their campaigns? Was it because there were no other overriding concerns, such as the economy or national security, to discuss? And yeah, I mean, a good poll will always make you want to know a little bit more about the population, the campaign, and it's for any number of reasons, right, including predicting what's going to happen next time around.
I mentioned that 52% of the survey's overall respondents saying they'd prefer tougher immigration laws. Even that is, okay, so what's tougher? My idea of tougher might not be your idea of tougher.
Right. And so that is one of those imperfections of survey research, right? We don't know exactly what people are thinking when they answer some questions.
I guess it does indicate a level of frustration at the current system.
Right, right. And so we don't want to say, for example, that just because somebody is opposed to tougher immigration laws that means that they outright favor or don't favor something like amnesty, right? I mean, we can't get too specific with what we're talking about. But yeah, it's just more of a general predisposition where if the framing around reform, for example, by Democrats is that it's just too punitive, right? Mm-hmm. Then it goes under that rubric for people of just being tougher or too tough, and they can raise opposition to it. Same thing in the opposite direction, right? If it's perceived to be too lax for any number of reasons, right? Whatever those specifics might be, then you might have opposition from conservatives who really view immigration as a problem and who want something done about it.
What is it like for you after any poll is out and the initial reports is released, and then whether it's a 24-hour cable news pundit or someone, they take your months of work, your hard research, your scientific approach, and then they boil it down sometimes to a paragraph or, you know, a talking point or two.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that academics in general would probably tend to fear.
Sure, scientific medical reports get the same sort of treatment.
Sure, yeah. And I mean, a lot of times too, we certainly want the attention. We want the research recognized. We want it disseminated. We want people to be familiar with it. And so it's mostly all to the good, right? Mm-hmm. That the media, any media, would pay attention to the report. It's a great thing. I think most of the time the misunderstandings are good faith misunderstandings. Like an academic will say something in a very measured, dispassionate way, just kind of say, like, look, we found this very interesting relationship, but we don't know exactly what it's due to. But of course, if somebody thinks it's so interesting, they kind of express it in very deterministic terms or just they word it more strongly. And so it becomes the perception becomes that, you know, this research has said that X causes Y. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no, I said nothing of the kind. I said the two were related and who knows why, you know. So it's always good faith misunderstandings, I think. It's just trying to make the research sound more, as it were, sexy than it is.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but the goal here is for education, right?
Sure.
That's the initial.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us in the Blair Center hope that it's not just an educational tool for, you know, the students who take courses related to the South and to race and ethnicity and politics, but that it also be a tool for policymakers, perhaps. I mean, this is just one report. There will be others forthcoming on a whole host of different issues.
Raphael, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums recently spoke with Raphael Gimeno, Diane Blair Professor of Latino Studies at the University of Arkansas. For more information on this and other polls and reports, visit blaircenter.uark.edu.